We've been focusing on the financial health of those affected by the Gulf disaster. Now we want to talk more about mental health. The state of Louisiana is asking BP for $10 million over the next 6 months to fund mental health programs for those affected by the spill. We hear that BP has reportedly rejected that request, but the state is making it again. So we called Dr. Howard Osofsky. He's chairman of the Department of Psychiatry at Louisiana State University Medical Center. He joins us from New Orleans. He's been providing on-the-ground mental health services to different regions of the state. He did that post-Katrina and now post the Gulf oil spill as well. Also with us is Bonnie Duplessis from Lower Plaquemines Parish, where she is currently working as a liaison for Catholic Charities between BP and local fishermen and women, people working in the industry. Ms. Duplessis has lived in New Orleans with her husband for more than 40 years, and we understand that the couple lost their home after Hurricane Katrina, and she's told us that she fell into a deep depression and was later diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. I want to welcome you both and thank you both so much for speaking with us.
Well, thank you. It's nice to be here.
I'm very glad to be here. Thank you.
And Bonnie, I want to thank you for being willing to talk about such personal things. I think it's very helpful to others to hear that people have gone through that experience. So I did want to ask, after Katrina, how did you realize that you were in trouble?
I think it was more my family realized it. I didn't want to do anything. I was staying in bed most of the time. I was eating like a pig. And I didn't even care about what was happening around me.
How are you doing now?
I'm doing fantastic now. I think it's because now I have a purpose. I have something to do by helping the fishermen.
But I understand that your husband's been struggling. I mean, you told us earlier that just a few weeks ago you saw your husband cry for the second time in your 40-year marriage. And you also told us, and again, I appreciate your telling us this, that he actually has entertained suicidal thoughts. Is that true?
Yes, that is.
What's working on him?
The not knowing what's going to happen in the future. My husband's 55 years old. He's been fishing since he got out of the Marine Corps. He had four kids to educate and put through college. And he went to full-time fishing. And when this happened, and he didn't know if he was ever going to be fishing again, it really worked on him. He's a workaholic. He has to be doing something all the time.
Thank you for telling us this. How is he doing now? Same, or is he things getting a little better? How is he now?
BP finally called our boat for the vessel of opportunity, and he's back to his old self because, again, he's got a purpose. I mean, even though he doesn't know if he's going to be able to fish again, at least he's able to bring in money and feel like he's supporting the family and doing something to alleviate the problem.
Dr. Osofsky, how does this strike you? Is this something
familiar? Can I just ask one question? Sure. How old did you say your husband is?
My husband is 65.
How does it strike me? With Katrina, as bad as it was, and it was certainly a terrible disaster, but over time, communities could try to come together. People could try to rebuild if they were coming back, and many people have done that. However, here, with a technological disaster, there is a tendency for communities to have more difficulty coming together. The initial symptoms that are most prevalent are severe anger, anxiety that can go on to what we call generalized anxiety disorder, depression, and increased use of alcohol and drugs. When people are lying around, as Mrs. Duplessis was describing, I've had fishermen, for example, talk to me about how hard they would work as fishermen. They would be setting the traps for crabs. They worked very, very hard and yet were exhilarated at the end of the day. They loved looking at the Gulf. They loved their work. But now, when even in working for BP, the work isn't as hard, but they come home and they're exhausted and may take a bath and go to bed. PTSD is important, but I would say the other concerns will be even more important in this type of event. And we're seeing the early signs. We're seeing anger, irritability, extreme anxiety, some conflict in families as they're dealing with the decreased economics, struggles between husbands and wives, between friends. But it goes on, and part of it is the question of what people describe as the possibility of the whole loss of life or way of life. When we talk about Mr. Duplessis at 65, for example, he isn't apparently, but so many of the people are fifth and sixth generation fishermen, and their kids were planning to be fishermen or already fishermen. And the question is this going to be there for them? We worry about it with people of different ages. The other day I had a fisherman in tears talking to me about his children and would they be able to fish the way he had fished. We see with youngsters, they're trying to cope, and children of different ages having different reactions. But for example, with some of the 8 to 15-year-olds, as they talk about their parents being strong and wanting to be strong, they believe them, and yet they're not sure. They worry about the animals. They worry, will their parents be able to continue to work? They worry, will they be able to stay in their community with friends and families? And yet they don't want to bother their parents because they feel their parents are dealing with so much at the present time.
You've given us a lot to think about, you both have, and we've only just scratched the surface. So I think we should, you know, plan to, you know, return to this conversation as events proceed and check in and see, you know, how people are doing. Bonnie, before we let you go, and again, I want to thank you again for talking so frankly about what you have been through. Can I ask you, is there a way that anyone could have reached out to you after the first disaster, after Katrina, that would have helped? Is there any advice that you can offer now to people who are trying to be supportive, to those who are suffering greatly right now?
I think there is in one way. A lot of these fishermen are very, I don't really know how to put the word there, macho. They think that they can handle anything. And a lot of them don't seem willing to talk to anybody. They think that they can do it themselves. And the only thing that I can tell people is you can't do it alone. You need help. If you feel that you're in a situation where you're starting to feel like you can't control it, you definitely need to find somebody to talk to, and preferably a professional.
You're saying your husband is a macho man like all these other, like a lot of other guys.
My husband is a Marine, and,
yeah.
And when I'm talking, he could be a poster boy for Marines. That's what type of person he is. He is very straightforward. There's no gray area. It's black and white. He raised his children that way. And when things start breaking down and there's no more rules or answers, they can't handle it.
Mm.
They want to think they can. And that's the problem that I'm seeing with so many of these fishermen. They think, oh, man, I can handle anything. But in the last week or two, and since they closed all of our waters here on the East Bank, they closed them on the 4th of July, we're seeing so many of the fishermen coming in here and saying they really don't know what they're going to do now. They don't know how they're going to pay their bills. They don't know. School is getting ready to start. They've got to get school clothes and school supplies for their kids. And they don't know where to turn to. And they keep saying, this is Katrina all over again, or I feel like I'm going through the road home. And everywhere I turn, all I get is bureaucracy.
Hmm.
And it's really, really affecting them deeply. These men, most of them, they don't have a high school education. And they're saying that they're going to give them these retraining programs. A lot of these men are too old to be retrained and to find them other work. And especially in this economy, and what are they going to do? Plaquemines Parish depends on oil and fish. So they don't have any answers.
Well, I just want to thank you again, Bonnie, for telling us all that you've told us, and we're all going to keep a good thought for you and for your family and for everyone. Doctor, do you have one final thought for us? And you've given us a lot to work with here. Give us a final thought before we let you go.
My final thought is we have wonderful, brave people. You listen to Mrs. Duplessis and you hear the bravery. People want to smile. And I think one of the things that she is saying so clearly is people aren't looking for a handout. They're looking for a hand up. People do want to move forward, and it's going to be our goal as much as possible to help encourage the strengths, at the same time to make sure that especially with severe symptoms, that we try to provide help. Because if we take the Exxon Valdez work, is that the symptoms will continue to increase over a period of time.
Dr. Howard Ossofsky is chairman of the Department of Psychology at Louisiana State University Medical Center. He's worked on the ground providing mental health services to the people of the region post-Katrina and now, of course, during this Gulf oil spill disaster. Bonnie Duplessis joined us from Lower Plaquemines Parish, where she's currently working as a liaison for Catholic Charities between BP and people who work in the local fishing industry. And again, I thank you both so much for speaking with us, and thank you for all you're doing.
Thank you very much.